Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Henrik Ibsen's An Enemy of the People is about halfway through its strictly limited run at the Circle in the Square Theater. Having opened on March 18th, the Sam Gold-directed production will run through June 23rd. The Broadway revival has a new script adapted by Amy Herzog and stars Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli as Dr. Thomas Stockman and Mayor Peter Stockman, respectively. Caleb Eberhardt plays Hofstad, the editor of the town's newspaper, a character integral to the questions posed by the plot involving character, power, public opinion, and the always nuanced latent exploration of the greater good. Eberhardt made his Broadway debut in Choir Boy in 2018. He was in the films Judas and the Black Messiah and The Subject. He also creates music under the moniker Rosehart and will release a new record, The World Gets Smaller, Each Day It Seems to Shrink, in May. Caleb, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about your familiarity with Ibsen and this play before this project.
It's a funny thing. The only familiarity I had with this play before I was asked to audition was my freshman year of college at SUNY Purchase. I was assigned a scene from An Enemy of the People by my professor where I played Peter Stockman. Okay. And we did the scene at the end. I think it was the Arthur Miller adaptation. We did this scene at the end where the mayor comes in. He's like, sorry, I couldn't do anything about it. And it's actually a bummer. I was cleaning out some stuff in my house, maybe in like August, September. And I came across where I had handwritten the scene down in order to help memorize it. And I was like, I'm not going to need this. And I threw it away.
Oh, no.
And I wish I hadn't. So that's the only time it's ever crossed my path before. I remember feeling very lost and very distant from it because Ibsen was really new to me. And I didn't really understand why it was being used to teach us to act. So I was like, I remember being very like, okay, I'll just get this scene over with and move on to cooler stuff. Like, I want to do stuff that I know I can do. And when I booked this, I sort of sent a chuckle out to my acting professor who passed, I think, in 2016. And I was like, I know you're laughing at me right now. Because he knew I could do it. I just didn't know I could do it. And you couldn't have paid me money to think that I'd be doing this play on Broadway, but I am. And so I like the notion of proving myself wrong. Yeah.
That's great. Is Ibsen cool or is Amy Herzog cool? Is this production cool? Is it something that and Sam Gold and the actors, how are you finding your purchase in it? It is obviously something you can do. You are doing it on Broadway, but how are you finding your moments and the character?
It is cool. I think what I found with this process is that fortunately there's a creative team that's very open and willing to listen to all the ways in which I'm cracking open Hofstad, especially being Black. And they're really willing to hear my perspective and willing to entertain some of the thoughts and ideas that I have surrounding that sort of adjustment to this story. And so in that, I find it really satisfying as an actor to sort of like take what Ibsen's done with Hofstad and mold it into someone even more interesting and more compelling and more complex and more flawed, but in like a very complex way. It's really fun. And the way my brain works, I dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. And they've been really open to my digging and speaking aloud what I find. And it's great. I still feel like there's still a lot to discover. I think I've reached a really great point. This is definitely a challenge because I willed myself to prove something to myself when I went in for this because I knew I could do it, but I had to show myself that I could do it. And now with all this repetition of it, I'm just like leaning more and more in, and it's very fun. And it's just like, it's fun in the way where it's some nights it's torturous. Some nights it's easy. Some nights it's simple. Sometimes it's complicated, and that's all fun.
But how did you know that you could do it? And what is the thrill of proving it to yourself?
It's a feeling. I think it started coming out of the pandemic. Because if we're talking about pure like confidence in my skill as an actor. Sure. That took a step, a big step forward when I did this play called On Sugarland at New York Theater Workshop. Mm-hmm. I came on to that play 2 weeks before the first preview because there was like something that happened with the original actor and they brought me in late. And in that moment, I really had, I had no time to worry about what I wasn't doing and what I was doing. I had to do everything my teachers taught me, which was just like throw shit at the wall, fall down, be an idiot, make a fool of yourself, and know that something will come out of it. And because I was sort of put in that position where I had no choice, something happened to my perception of who I was as an actor and what I was capable of if I just had the knowing of it. Mm-hmm. That definitely changed how I go into stuff. And then the next year I also got to do a really great play called The Comeuppance at Signature, which also sort of like boosted me forward in terms of just my own internal journey as an actor. And so when I got this, I was like, I think it was a combination of like knowing how high profile this was going to be and also knowing how much of a challenge it was going to be, being that I was not unfamiliar with Ibsen, but out of practice with Ibsen. Mm-hmm. And the combination of just like looking at it, like I just have to do the audition and I just have to do it to the point where I feel comfortable and relaxed in order to give my idea of what Hofstad or who Hofstad is. That paired with like, I could go down the road in my head, which I am good at, of being like, you know, letting my nerves get to me in terms of it being Broadway, in terms of it being Ibsen on Broadway, in terms of it being Jeremy Strong, in terms of it being Sam Gold, in terms of it being Amy Herzog, like all these sort of things that are easy to place on a pedestal. I didn't allow myself to look up at it. I willed myself to look right at it. And that's, I think, how I knew I could do it. And that was a really good feeling, yeah. Especially when they called and said, I got it. Yeah. Because it wasn't like I was trying to prove anything to them. It wasn't like I was trying to prove anything to anybody else but myself in order to solidify something in me as an artist who's very susceptible to imposter syndrome.
As Hofstad, you have to play a turn. How do you, knowing that you're going to do that in the second part of the show, as Caleb, like, you know that, how do you perform the first part, making sure you're not hinting toward the flip?
Mm-hmm. I really had to find empathy for Hofstad, and I really had to, because early in rehearsals, I found myself in like the town hall where you sort of, you see the turn happen in the act before, but in the town hall, you see it really shift because there's like, now there's like a bit of anger involved. Yeah. And I found myself struggling because I was sitting there just like, but I agree with Stockman. Like, why? I was like, this is hard. And what it was is finding empathy and really taking all of the context clues within the text and digging and opening them up and seeing what I could do with that, paired with my imagination, paired with research, paired with knowledge of the time and all this stuff. I really had to find empathy for Hofstad, because at the end of the day, I don't believe Hofstad is evil. I don't believe he's stupid. I just think he might be a little young. He might be definitely naive and maybe a bit insecure. And all of what he does in that turn, for me, is convince himself that he's doing the right thing for the sake of what he cares about, which is the people. And for lower class, poor communities of people specifically. And we, you know, I've been in debates already about this. And yes, on paper, you could look at it as like, well, this is how Ibsen wrote it. Hofstad is the guy who sort of stabs him in the back. But it's like more interesting to figure out why. Mm-hmm. You could say, yeah, he just like is inconsiderate and cares about the money. But who does he care about the money for? It's not about him. partially it is, because it's about the paper and it's about, you know, doing something with the paper that he thinks he can do that will help the community, that's opposite of what his predecessors did. But it's not personal. That's where I've arrived. It's not about the money from a personal standpoint. It's not because I need the money. And I am ambitious, but I'm ambitious for something. I'm ambitious for a cause. And because you're presenting me with this information that I am ignorant to in terms of like the science of it all, I have to go with what I know. I have to go with what I know will prevent something that is inevitable if this information gets out. And that's why I'm really breaking it down.
Yeah.
It's like, it's why I like language, like, it's unproven science. It's brand new science. You know, the audience and when we're outside of this play, we're in a really convenient position of knowing what science like that is now. But right. Back then, many people just didn't understand it. So of course they fear it and they take sides with something that they know they can grasp, which is like economy. And like, so that's why language, like, it's brand new science. It's unproven science. It's important. And also, like, that's why I don't want to publish it prematurely. I want to take time and maybe understand it more. But for the time being, for us to just believe that this is what's happening will cause, it will be a detriment. And maybe we should take time. Now, I don't have the luxury of saying, let's take time and let's further understand it. So that's where people start to think, well, how's that? And that's maybe true. Like, that's where the naivete comes in, you know? But that's what I lock on to in order to like justify that switch, which it's like, it's not that I disagree, but I've been given 2 points and I have a job and I have to go with the point that I better understand in order to save the people that I care about. And let's continue. But you know, we don't get to see that part of the story.
Right. Stockman versus Stockman, and you have to pick a side.
Yeah, and it's rough because, you know, there's the elite versus the everyman, but then it turns into like, then Thomas becomes sort of elite, and then it becomes about like, you think you're smarter than us and you're not. And I love it. It's juicy as hell, and I love doing it. And even though I have a good idea of what that switch is, the nuances of it shift and mold every night in terms of like how I say it or what I'm feeling as I go to say it. It always shifts depending on how the show's going, how I'm feeling, what I get from Jeremy, what I get from the audience, for sure. They inform a lot of what I do a lot of the time, which is interesting.
You've gifted me a beautiful segue to my very next question, which was about performing at Circle in the Square. They're all around you. They're the community of the town meeting part of the play. Tell me more about that.
I love performing in the round. I wish I'd done it more often. I did it in college. We did like a production of Mother Courage and Our Children in the Round, and it was awesome. So doing this, I feel really comfortable in a space like that, especially during something like the town hall scene, like sort of feeling like you're in a pulpit. My dad and mother were preachers, so that's like a really comfortable, familiar place for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, like maybe it threw me when we first had an audience and we, you know, open dress, we came out there and all the house lights were on and we're finally seeing a theater full of people. You know, that was like, okay, this is what it's going to be. But once we got through that, it was like very clear to me how it could go and how it might change. You know, we've had some, as I'm sure you've heard, some interesting things happen. And, you know, that was cool too. Like, you know, like that was a moment. And I think the way we all reacted was very in line with who we're playing and who we are. And
let's tell the people what we're talking about.
Yeah, sure.
There was a protest at the show. Yeah. A climate action group interrupted the production with a protest.
Mm-hmm. It was spontaneous and it was fun. And it only lasted about 2 minutes. It went by really fast. I know it got a bunch of press and maybe got blown out of proportion, but it was a very quick thing. And we got back into the play very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I like that type of stuff. Not to say come and do it again, you know, like, but you know, that's what we've sort of been given with this production. You know, Sam told us the first day what he was going to do with that scene. And we were all like, yes, we sort of should have anticipated it a little bit. And we've had, you know, that was the most disruptive thing, but audience members with no agenda have screamed out like the other night, a woman Tom, who plays as Loxin, was like, I think we should have a chairman. And somebody was like, I'll do it. And I was like, okay, all right. it's good. I like it. I like performing in the round and audience participation. And I'm into that stuff.
Cool. Before I let you go, I want to ask you a little bit about your music. You're going to put out another album in May. Before I saw that post that announced you were putting out a new record, I was wondering if you had sort of put the music on hold as you were in rehearsals and production, but it seems like, no, you're putting out a new record.
Mm-hmm. The album's, I finished writing the album like a year ago. Okay. So we spent a year mixing and mastering and perfecting and releasing singles, and the timing of it becoming completed. It's actually it's done now. I don't have to think about it anymore. the timing just sort of like worked out with this, where it's like, well, maybe we can announce it and release it all within the span of this run. And yeah, I've been writing this album for like 6 years and I do love it. It occupies a very specific place in my heart. In terms of like, because it's been so long, I am a very different person than I was when I started writing it. And even when I finished writing it, which was a year ago, I'm not that person anymore. And, but I still, the meanings and the themes of the songs landed in a different way in me now. It's exciting. It is exciting. And I'm very eager to release it and see what people think and feel about it's very heady and existential, and but it's groovy and, you know, it sounds good. It's called The World Gets Smaller Each Day It Seems to Shrink. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Will you do shows in support of it when it comes out, or is it not really that kind of project?
It's definitely that kind of project. I think maybe that's where how busy I've been sort of comes into play. We have a skeleton of a show. I did a couple performances a few years back with this really great artist named Christine Kruta, who has her own orchestra of all women string players called Little Kruta. And those shows have been really successful. People really like them. So we're trying to expand on that and then do something with that later in the year. But we're in the very early stages of that.
Caleb, it's been fantastic to meet you and speak with you. Thank you so much.
This was great. Thanks for having me.
Caleb Eberhardt is in the role of Hofstad in the Broadway revival of An Enemy of the People at Circle in the Square through June 23rd. To learn more, visit anenemyofthepeopleplay.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.